First Samuel chapter 8, I will read verses 10 to 18. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." We'll title our discussion today, "The Service and Leadership Connection." The service and leadership connection. Because this month we've been discussing service as the pathway to greatness. Let me begin by saying that many that aspire to positions of leadership underestimate the pressure and temptations that come with such positions and the weakness of human nature to handle them. That's a long sentence. So I'll take it again. Many that aspire to positions of leadership underestimate the pressure and temptations that come with such positions. Many that aspire to positions of leadership underestimate the pressure and the temptations that come with such positions. They also underestimate the weakness of human nature to handle those temptations. Satan values power because it gives you leverage to make things happen on a mass scale. So when you occupy a position where you can exercise influence, first, it may be over a family, okay? It may be over a department in an organization, maybe over the whole organization. And just imagine, it may be over a state, it may be over a whole nation. The moment you occupy that position, sincerely speaking, Satan will come after you. He will give you ideas that you would never have gotten if you were not president. His mission is clear. It's in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's why it happened sometime in the Bible that the Bible said, "And Satan moved David to number Israel." What he is after is his control, his impact on people's lives. So it's easy to criticize someone that is occupying a leadership position. We find it easy because we're not seeing things from their perspective. We're not feeling what they are feeling. It's easy to criticize. While when we were watching the World Cup, okay, when we watch a soccer match, you know, some strikers missed some goals. Can you imagine? Have you watched a football match before where it was the striker and the goalpost? The goalkeeper had fallen down somewhere and the striker still missed the goal. Have you seen that before? It can be very frustrating. Right? I mean, just you and the goalpost, and then those of us watching on TV say, how did he play? How did he shoot that ball? What was that? How did he hit that ball? How could he have done that? Don't mind him. It's because of the way he turned his leg. He should not have used the face of his leg. He should have turned it sideways. Well done. Well done, no. Professional coach. He should not have used his leg. He should have used his head. put yourself in the position of the player. The person is under pressure. The person is under pressure. There are defenders running towards the person. There are people coming here. And the person has to make a decision in a split second. That pressure is what I'm talking about. Okay? And that in this instance, Satan comes after you. So you've had scenarios where people criticized those in leadership, and then it so happened that they now were able to occupy the same position of leadership, and they did worse. Have you seen anything close to that? I didn't see anything. Like we say here. So I say, you don't know a person's character until you give them power. You don't really know a person's character until you give that person power. It may be economic power, it may be money, it may be political power, it may be spiritual power, it may be social power. You don't really know a person's character until you give them power. Okay, let's pick this illustration from the Bible. 2 Kings 8, verses 7 to 15, NIV. 2 Kings 8, 7 to 15. Elisha went to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, was ill. When the king was told, "The man of God has come all the way up here," he said to Azael, "Take a gift with you and go to meet the man of God. Consult the Lord through him. Ask him, will I recover from this illness?" Hazael went to meet Elisha, taking with him as a gift 40 camel loads of all the finest wares of Damascus. He went in and stood before him and said, "Your son Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, has sent me to ask, will I recover from this illness?" Elisha answered, "Go and say to him, you will certainly recover. Nevertheless, the Lord has revealed to me that he will in fact die." Then something happens. He stared at him with a fixed gaze until Hazael was embarrassed. Then the man of God began to weep. "Why is my Lord weeping?" asked Hazael. "Because I know the harm you will do to the Israelites," he answered. "You will set fire to their fortified places, kill their young men with the sword, dash their little children to the ground, and rip open their pregnant women." Hazael said, "How could your servant, a mere dog, accomplish such a feat? The Lord has shown me that you will become king of Aram," answered Elisha. Then Hazael left Elisha and returned to his master. When Ben-Hadad asked, "What did Elisha say to you?" Hazael replied, "He told me that you would certainly recover." But the next day, he took a thick cloth, soaked it in water, and spread it over the king's face so that he died. Then Hazael succeeded him as king. Power play. Power games. The prophet was looking at this young man. And prophets see. And when they see the future is as real to them as today. So they feel the emotions. Okay? As Elisha was looking at him, Elisha saw what Hazael would do with power. And broke down weeping. Candid, I'm wondering, this morning, is there someone here like that? God is looking at the future, at the phenomenal opportunities that he has, at the promotion that is coming. Is God grieving? That's if we don't change. I grew up in a culture of leadership that makes the leader superior to the followers. And that culture you know, culture where the leader owns everything, the leader owns everybody, and the leader is lion of the tribe, of whatever tribe he belongs to. Okay, so even when it is family, he is the lion of the tribe of his family. So it took me a while to realize what was going on in my head. The picture I had was that when I would marry, when I was a teenager, the picture I had was when I would marry, have children, I'll become the lion of the tribe of my house. Thank you for completing it. The picture I had was when the children hear the horn of my car, they would die for cover. To me, that's what it takes to be the man of the house. So, see this guy. Just, they gave you prophecy. You will become king. He went and killed the king. Some people, they've not had the power. They're just smelling it. It's showing. What they will do with the power is showing. The temptation to use power to acquire wealth greedily, to take revenge on one's enemies, or to dominate others is very high. Yet, when you do all those things, you are defeating the purpose of leadership. And when leadership is abused, the result is destructive. So Jesus came and gave us a new template for leadership in Mark 10, verses 42 to 45. Mark 10, 42 to 45. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The goal of leadership is improvement. So I usually give a very simple illustration for leadership. I stand here. I ask you to stand behind me. And we stand like that for 12 hours. Then after 12 hours, somebody asks me, "So what are you doing to her?" And I say, "I am leading her." Will that be an accurate description of what's going on? We've been there for 12 hours. I am leading her. Is that correct? Why? Why not? Because we're not moving. Thank you. Smart people. No movement, no leadership. If you are not taking me from point A to point B, you are not leading me. The more accurate description of that scenario would be, "I am blocking her progress." Dear leader, if you are not bringing any improvement, improvement in my thinking, improvement in my approach, improvement in my skills, improvement in my life, you are not leading me. You are obstructing my progress. The goal of leadership is improvement. It is positive change. And the means for achieving that improvement is service. Service is to meet needs or to solve problems. Jesus said, amongst people that are godless or that don't know God like we do, it is okay. That's the way they do leadership. They leverage political power, spiritual power, economic power, social power to achieve their selfish gains, their own selfish aims. They use it to appropriate things for themselves. They use it to oppress people or to dominate people. He said, but among you, it shall not be so. He gave us a new template. Anyone that is a believer in Christ, whether within the sphere of the church or outside, can only approach leadership through service. The essence of leadership for us is service. You know, sometimes I think that some people in this town, it's never even occurred to them that I served in the church before. You just may not have thought about it. I did not drop from heaven as the senior pastor of Daystar Christian Center. I didn't come from heaven like this. You know, life requires insight. You need understanding before you can apply any principle to get results. That requires for you to think and to use your inner eyes. I describe understanding as the thing that is under what is standing. That if you look at the building, wisdom should tell you it has a foundation. If you want to copy what I built, you go build your own. It has no foundation. The rain will sweep it away. It won't last. When you look at a tree, wisdom should tell you it has roots. When you think very well, if you want to reproduce that tree, that orange tree, or that mango tree, wisdom should tell you that whole thing came from a seed. If you don't think at that level, if I give you a seed, you won't know I gave you a forest. I served elsewhere before. I have served at all levels. I've been usher. I've been counselor. I've been Bible class teacher. I was youth pastor. I was branch pastor. I served at all levels. I studied my boss, found his style, saw what he wanted, and gave him 100%. Because it's the way it works in God's system. It's service before greatness. So, let me wrap it up with this story. A parable spoken by one man who saw something funny going on. His name Jotham. Judges chapter 9, verses 7 to 15. He said the trees of the field decided to appoint a king among themselves. They approached the olive tree. Come and be king over us. Olive tree said, should I leave the production of oil that serves both God and men? They use it to anoint kings. Should I leave that just to come and sway over other trees? So they went to the fig tree. Come and be king over us. He said, should I leave my good and sweet fruit that feeds people just to come and hold the title and sway over other trees? So they went to the vine. Come and be king over us. The vine said, should I leave the production of wine that cheers both gods and men just to come and sway over other trees as king? So they turned to the thorn bush in New International Version. King James Version says the bramble. Come and be king over us. Now, the thorn bush is a shrub. He said, if I'm going to be king over you, then all of you have to come and hide under my shade. In other words, if I am king, then I have to be the tallest. So reduce your size. People have to see me as the biggest around here, so you have to hide under my shade. What shade do you have? All you have are thorns. You're a shrub. He said, no, we must reduce your size. Two, he said, if you don't do this thing that I am saying, he said, let fire come out of the thorn bush and consume the cedars of Lebanon. We're still just discussing. We've not even appointed you yet. See, look at the other trees. They said, the olive tree said, I'm already adding value. My definition of leadership is different from yours.
The title is not what will make me a leader. Leadership is influence. Leadership is service. And I'm serving already, so I'm a leader already. Okay? Leaving service to go take up a position will be a demotion. The real leadership is the service. All three said the same thing. And then they now came to this one, had no fruit, no oil, no food, nothing. Shrub. Say, okay. Use this as opportunity for your own service. Okay? Since you don't have anything for anybody to eat or drink, use this as your own opportunity for service. He misread the oath because he did not understand the essence of leadership. Said, the first thing is, we have to reduce your size. Who said that because you are the leader, you must be the richest, you must be the biggest, both spiritually and physically, that your ideas must be the smartest? It's a misunderstanding, gross misunderstanding. Gross. Now that you are leading a team, you must become a broker of talent. A broker of talent. The essence of your leadership is to look at those people on your team, identify each person's area of genius, and help them to unleash that genius. The collective unleashing of their genius, the sum of it, is your own result. If people are diminished under you, if they are afraid to display their genius because your eyes will turn red because of your insecurity, if like Saul, King Saul, you will not be able to sleep again because people are singing, Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed his 10,000s. If because of that you will not be able to sleep again, you are not good for leadership. It should be your joy that the person you train, the one you mentored, where you chased thousands, he is chasing 10,000s. Because at the end of the day, they will still credit everything he has achieved to your account. Enough of witchcraft leadership in our part of the world. Stop frustrating people's potentials. Say, let fire come out of me to consume. That's what you want to use power to do. A position or title without the capacity to serve will make a leader a liability. I challenge us today to leverage whatever advantage God has given us. It may be a position, it may be a title, it may be talents, it may be skills, it may even be money. Let's leverage them to bring improvement to individuals, to families, to organizations, to our communities, and to whole nations. That's what the essence of leadership is about. I challenge us to start from God's house. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. And God gave us the structure, the New Testament structure, and daily in the temple and from house to house. Join us. You may not be able to change the whole of Nigeria on your own nation at once, but you can touch one person's life. That's where Jesus started from. The one God sent to save the world started by recruiting people one by one. That's the Jesus approach. You change one person, you may have changed the family. You may have changed an organization. You may have changed a city. Join us on this small groups platform to reach out closer to people in the communities where they live. And we offer leadership training, training that will help you not just on your job in church, but on your job out there. I want to say a big thank you to all those that have joined us already. Thousands of people actively helping us to touch people one life at a time, every single day. And you know what? God is blessing them. You will not serve God in vain. Amen. I think it's 1 Corinthians 15:58 that says we should remain steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know
that our labor in the Lord will not be in vain. And the Spirit of God is saying to me that it's one of those seasons where he does redistribution. Because Jesus said in the parable of talents in Matthew 25, take the talent from him that has one and give it to him that has ten. He said, for to him that has, more will be given. But from him that has, not even what he has will be taken away. Jesus was saying there, God will take the money. He said, take the money from the person that is not managing it well. Give it to the one that is managing it well. I see opportunities. Huge opportunities coming. I see promotion coming on a massive scale. And I prophesy by the Spirit of God, heaven will open doors for you. Amen. There will be doors of opportunity. Amen. There is one that scatters and yet increases. Proverbs 11:24. There is one that withholds more than is necessary. It results in poverty. Serve God with your time. Serve God with your money. Serve God with your talents. Serve God with your skills. Proverbs 11:25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. He that waters others will be watered also himself. Let God flow through you. He will flow for you. He will work for you. And we leverage our brother's testimony to declare anyone going through a rough season, we declare a termination.
Amen.
Sometimes it's even because of your service to God that Satan attacks you like that. And all he's trying to do is to distract you. To distract you. Because he wants to destroy people's lives. And you are busy allowing God to use you. You know, to touch people's lives, to help people. He wants to distract you. But we declare today, every siege is over.
Amen.
The days of delay are over.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Please say a prayer for a minute. Make it a prayer of commitment to service. A fresh prayer of commitment to leadership through service. Lord, help me so that any opportunity I have to touch anybody's life, you give me capacity for service. Give me the spirit of service. Give me the humility required for service. Help me to see things the way you see them. Deliver me from deception. Deliver me from distraction. Deliver me from wrong ideas of what to do with the resources at my disposal as you promote me. Help me to maximize these opportunities for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. So, Heavenly Father, I present my brothers and my sisters to you as candidates for promotion.
Amen.
And as it was when they sent for David in the palace, when they sent for Daniel in the palace, when they sent for Joseph in the palace, Heavenly Father, let this season be the season when my brothers and sisters will be remembered.
Amen.
Cause us to be remembered for good.
Amen.
And Heavenly Father, for the one that has the power now, has the economic power, has the social power, has the political power, deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from the wrong use of power. Rather, Heavenly Father, wherever we are now, use it as a stepping stone to higher levels of service. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for the person in this service who says, okay, now I'm getting it the way God wants us to do it. My promotion is not for me. It's an opportunity to serve. But how do I start that when my relationship with God is not even okay? I'm a sinner. My relationship with God is not okay. You see, all the things we're talking about, greed, envy, anger, dominating people, they're all products of sin. The sin nature. It's sin that causes man to malfunction, and God so loves us, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. The price has been paid. All God expects us to do is to ask for forgiveness. If you are that honest person that wants us to pray together to receive forgiveness right now for sins, can you please put your hand on your heart? You could not have been in this service by accident. God organized for you to be a part of this service. This is the prayer I said many years ago that changed the trajectory of my life. I will never regret that I said this prayer. Can you please put your hand on your heart as we pray for forgiveness of sins? Perhaps somebody is saying, I've been a Christian all my life. I've been going to church all my life. That's fine. But God forbid you die tonight, appear before God. You're not absolutely sure you will make heaven. You want to just dedicate your life to God. Can you also put your hand on your heart? God bless you. Your life will take a different direction, take a different trajectory from here. Please say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, thank you. I believe that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone that said this prayer. And thank you because a miracle just happened. Their sins are forgiven. Their records are wiped clean like they have never sinned before. The nature of sin is now removed from them. And the Holy Spirit has put your own nature in them. So we pray as a church that Heavenly Father, you will teach them to know you personally. You will teach them to love you deeply. And you will teach them to serve you and to serve humanity the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.